Welcome to another episode of Talks from St. Peter's, a podcast bringing you live recordings of talks from our services at St. Peter's Church in Derby, a community of faith, hope and love in the heart of the city.
Let's pray. Lord, help me to speak with clarity and help us to hear what you want to say to us this morning. Amen. Well, I wonder who your heroes are and what, in your view, makes them heroic. Hero is a word used quite frequently. You might read headlines like, "Hero saves child from burning car." "Heroes rescue dog from floodwaters." At the moment, we have Olympic heroes. And of course, the pandemic has enabled us to celebrate our NHS heroes. Now, something you'll come to discover about me in the coming years is that I like words. So obviously, I looked up the word hero, just to check. And the concise Oxford Dictionary says a hero is someone noted or admired for nobility, courage, outstanding achievements, etc. And those of you who've read the newsletter will know that this August, we're having a short series entitled Heroes of Faith. This passage from Hebrews seemed a sensible place to start. It's often casually referred to as heroes of the faith. There are some big names in here. Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, later Joseph and Moses. There are also some names we might not be quite so familiar with. Enoch, and later on Rahab, Jephthah, Barak. These people are admired for what they have done, their courage or outstanding achievements. However, if you look in your Bible and there's a heading at the top of the chapter, which isn't actually part of the original, but don't worry, it won't refer to heroes. What it will refer to is faith. Any heroics that these people showed is woven into their faith in God. The list here takes us through different circumstances, different heroics, different heroes, but the same God. And as we enjoy this series on heroes of faith, there's a sense in which these are not extraordinary people in their own right, but ordinary people who put their trust in an extraordinary God. Now, the person I'm going to be talking about today isn't mentioned in this list in Hebrews, not in the Bible at all, because they lived less than 200 years ago. Today's hero of faith is a man called Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor was born in 1832 in Barnsley. His parents were Christians. At the age of 17, having drifted a bit spiritually in his youth, he committed himself to Christ. He also committed himself to the country and the people of China. In England, he embarked on medical studies and then travelled to China at the age of 21. He went as the first missionary of the Chinese Evangelization Society, although he later resigned from this during his first stay there. He came back to England in 1860, having married in China 2 years previously. While in England, after much prayer and a reminder of God's faithfulness, while on holiday in Brighton, Hudson Taylor decided to set up a new mission to China called the China Inland Mission. That mission still exists today as OMF International. There were six principles from the outset. One, the mission was interdenominational. There was a doctrinal declaration to sign, but there was no allegiance to any one church. Two, the missionaries would be no, the missionaries would have no guaranteed salary. they would rely on God's provision. Their income would be shared, and the mission would never incur debts. Number three, they would never appeal for funds, nor would they give the names of their donors. If you were a donor, you could track your donation through their accounts, but you would never receive applause for your donation. Number four, the work would be directed from China, initially by Hudson Taylor himself and latterly by others. And this was linked to his resignation from his first mission, where the work was directed from England. And he felt, particularly in those days where messages came by boat, not by text, that didn't work. Number five, the work would be carried out systematically with a view to evangelizing the entire Chinese empire. And number six, the missionaries would wear Chinese clothes, they would worship in Chinese-style buildings, and this was a courtesy to the Chinese people. A number of missions today follow some or all of these principles. I grew up as a missionary kid in Pakistan, and a good number of my friends' parents wore national dress for much of the time. In fact, during the first Gulf War, back in the early 90s, Mum was told by our grocer that all the white people had left, apparently therefore drawing a distinction between the embassy folk, many of whom had been evacuated and the rest of whom stayed safely on compound, and the missionaries who tended to blend in a little more with the language, their dress, and their involvement in local communities. But in Hudson Taylor's time, many of these principles were openly criticized by other missionaries. Indeed, he warned those who were thinking of joining the mission that if they intended to be loyal members of China Inland Mission, they could expect the sneers and opposition of good, godly people. Well, given we've only got to 1875 and Hudson Taylor lived until 1905, you'll be pleased to hear you're not getting a blow-by-blow account of the next 30 years. He continued to work in China for the rest of his life, interspersed with visits back to England, as well as other countries, to encourage more people to become missionaries, particularly in China. His influence reached further afield, too, with people like Eric Liddell, Chariots of Fire fame, Billy Graham, Amy Carmichael, and others, all citing Hudson Taylor as an influence on their life and work. So that is a little potted history of Hudson Taylor. It might help you in a church quiz one day, but is frankly unlikely to crop up anywhere else. So another fact about me is that for some years I worked as an RE teacher. In RE, religious education, there was a distinction between learning about religion and learning from religion. Effectively, what I've told you about Hudson Taylor so far is learning about him. It might encourage you to go and find out more about Hudson Taylor, about China, about mission work generally. All these things would be great. I can lend you his biography. However, there is a great deal that we can also learn from Hudson Taylor. And I want to focus on just three things. Our message is hopeful. Our God is faithful, and our prayers are powerful. That first one, our message is hopeful. When Hudson Taylor committed his life to Christ at the age of 17, it was after reading a tract about someone else's experience of becoming a Christian. This was rooted in the hope of sins forgiven. And Jesus' words from the cross, "It is finished," or "It is accomplished," offered Hudson Taylor the hope that he had been longing for. Jesus' death on the cross brings hope to a world in desperate need of it, particularly now as we are coming out of this pandemic. Hudson Taylor firmly believed that millions of people in China were dying without ever hearing of this hope, and he was determined to change that. During his first period in China, he was preaching once when a cotton dealer called Ni, who was also the leader of a Buddhist group, heard him and after hearing him preach, said, I have long searched for the truth, as my father did before me. I have traveled far, but I haven't found it. I found no rest in Confucianism, Buddhism, or Taoism, but I do find rest in what I have heard tonight. From now on, I believe in Jesus. Sometime later, he and Hudson Taylor were talking, and he asked Taylor how long the English people had known the gospel. Taylor's slightly evasive response was, several hundred years? To which Nee replied, and you have only now come to preach it to us. My father sought after the truth for more than 20 years and died without finding it. Why didn't you come sooner? Our message is hopeful. It offers people what they need. Secondly, our God is faithful. When he set up China Inland Mission, Hudson Taylor prayed and looked first for 24 missionaries, two for each of the 11 unreached provinces in China and another two for Mongolia. He resolved that the most important spiritual quality needed would be the unshakable conviction that there is a faithful God, coupled with an ability and a willingness to trust him. His biography tells of some of his early experiences of God's faithfulness, like provision of money at precisely the right time to meet a certain need. Before he even went to China, Hudson Taylor had experienced the faithful provision of God, and he went to China willing to trust God with everything, with money, with decisions, with his very life. God's faithfulness to Hudson Taylor didn't mean an easy life. He experienced persecution and attack. He knew huge levels of stress in his work. In 1870, he lost his first wife and two of their children to illnesses in a short space of time, yet still testified to the faithfulness of God. The account of how he dealt with those losses is deeply moving. I'm not going to read it now, as crying in my first sermon might set an unfortunate precedent. But he wrote after their deaths, I am not alone, for God is nearer to me than ever. Our God is faithful. And finally, our prayers are powerful. Time and again, Hudson Taylor experienced the power of prayer, both his own and the prayers of others. At the very moment of his conversion, his mother was praying for him 50 miles away. And as she prayed, she felt that her prayers for her son had been answered. Prayers for safety on hazardous sea voyages to China and back were repeatedly answered, just. Prayers for the protection of family and colleagues while rioters attacked their home. Prayers for more workers to join the harvest. Hudson Taylor knew of the need of prayer and the power of prayer. Prayers are powerful as we talk with our God who loves us. However, they're not an alternative to action. Hudson Taylor's son said of him once, he prayed about things as if everything depended on the praying, but he worked also as if everything depended on the working. Our message is hopeful. Our God is faithful. Our prayers are powerful. I wonder if we'll still remember those next week or this evening. But thinking back to learning about religion and learning from it, we need to take those three to their logical conclusions. Our message is hopeful, so let's share it. Our God is faithful, so let us trust God. Our prayers are powerful, so let us pray. Thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness that we can testify to and that we can see in the life of this church and the lives of others. Thank you for the message of hope that we have. And thank you that in prayer we can join with you in your work. Give us courage to be heroes for you, heroes of faith. Amen.
St. Peter's is a diverse community of faith, hope, and love in the heart of the city. If you'd like to know more, you can find us online at stpetersderby.org.uk. Thank you for listening to this episode of Talks from St. Peter's, and we hope you will join us again for our next talk in about a week's time.